on the great speckled bird. The great speckled bird, Jeremiah chapter 12. Verse 5. Lord, I pray that you might anoint the speaker tonight. Lord, anoint thy servant as he breaks God this bread of life. Lord, as he brings forth the word, that it might convict him, that it might strike home like a trip hammer. Oh, Lord, that it might strike the heart like an arrow. Oh, Lord, we might be able to break up the ground and plant seed that it might grow. Oh, God, put a fire, oh, Lord, in these messages tonight. And, oh, Lord, make every bit of flesh, oh, Lord, as stubble before it. And may it be burned up, oh, God, that there only be that which is pure and holy, only that which is righteous, and only that which is seeking thee. Oh, God, anoint hearts tonight to receive thy word. Woo hearts, oh, God, that are hard tonight. Break them, oh, Lord. Draw them with cords of love. Oh, God, show us thy great eternal love. And also show us, oh, God, thy white hot eternal judgment. Oh, God, break us before thee tonight. Oh, Lord, convict us tonight. Challenge us tonight. Lay a new heart within us. In Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. If thou hast run with the footmen, and they have wearied thee, then how canst thou contend with horses? And if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? For even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul in the land of her enemies, the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me, therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. The birds round about are against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. Many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion underfoot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me. The whole land is made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. The spoilers will come up on high places to the wilderness. Now here we find that Jeremiah the prophet is complaining of wickedness in Judah. And his difficulty in ministering to a hard-hearted people. And God tells him, it's going to get worse, Jeremiah. If you have lived in the land of Israel, and you have run against footmen, and they have wearied thee, what are you going to do when you have to run against horses? What are you going to do when you're in a land where the enemy is there instead of in your own land? If it's bad enough in your own land, in a safety that you've trusted in Jerusalem, what's it going to be like when the Syrians take over? What's it going to be like in the swelling of Jordan? When Jordan swells its banks and the water runs out into the thickets, and the lions that are on the sides of the Jordan in the thickets, the layers being invaded with the muddy waters of Jordan, are upset, and they run out of the forest roaring, seeking whom they may devour. What are you going to do when the lions come out? What are you going to do when you're going to have to run with the wind? He says it's going to get worse. If you think the wickedness in Judea is bad, it's going to get worse. And judgment is swiftly to follow. We find that in Judah at this time, Israel had grown deaf of the commandments of God. Deaf of the laws of God. It didn't matter what God said anymore. They're going to do whatever they want to do. That's the way it is, alas, with too many Christians today. They don't like to hear that because they all like to have their ears tickled with fancy new doctrines, and nobody's supposed to touch their beloved sin in their heart. They just live on in the grace of God in any old sloppy sin they want to live in, and they just want to come to church to hear nicey nice things while they live in sin and while there's a breach between them and God, and they cannot reach God in the Spirit, know nothing of the Spirit, and God cannot reach them. And the land is full of it. But oh, we like to applaud how wonderful we are. Oh, we like to talk about how wonderful the services are. But nobody wants to stand and listen to anybody begin to talk about how far we are away from God, how far we are from having the power of God and the anointing of God and the miracle-working power of God. And that's the way it is today, as it was with Judah. Sin in the lives and going on in indifference and hardness of heart, hearing message after message after messages from the men of God and hearing it not. Leaders, blind leading the blind. And this is the way it is in the United States. I want to tell you, my friend, there's not just the looking forward unto the latter rain. Even as the word of God has prophesied, so shall it come. And oh, it will be a blessed time. And there will be pools in the desert. But I want to tell you, the Spirit of the Lord is coming as a last-ditch effort in a perilous time, in a darkened world where the pillars of Babylon have been growing. And well, there is wickedness and lawlessness on every side. Well, faith is falling. Well, men and women are living in adultery, living in sin. Sin is rampant in the hearts of men and women. And the children of God are hardly finding faith and to believe God. And the Spirit of the Lord is going to come to that child, that man-child, that invisible church in the womb of the visible church. There is going to be a remnant. There's going to be a lack. There are going to be those who will hear the voice of God. There will be those who can hear the Spirit calling. There will be those who will say, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. There will be those who say, yes, Lord, break me. Lord, I am willing to be molded. I am willing to go through the furnace, prune me back. Lord, I must have that anointing. But oh, alas, 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 there are too many that stand in the breach. There are too many that stand on the gulf of a great apostasy prophesied in the last days. And we are already experiencing the apostasy. And it's coming like a great flood. And it will continue. And it will sweep away thousands and ten thousands of charismatics today. And those who name the name of Christ who have not yet fallen. And we find in verse 6, he says, for even thy brethren, even those of the household of God and the house of thy father, even those close to thee, have dealt treacherously with thee. They have dealt treacherously. That is, they have been guilty of treachery with those who know God, with the prophets of God, the mouthpieces of God. And we find it so in this very hour that the theologians of this world have dealt treacherously. Have dealt treacherously with the denomination in which they oversee. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Great multitudes are in the world council of churches. Multitudes are following the works of their flesh. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. We too often are duped by words that sound good. All people have to do is come and say, oh, I speak with tongues, and woo, glory, they're fine. And many of them don't even know God. They speak fair words unto thee and are liars. There are many going to be duped by the Roman Catholic Church in this last day. I know this is unpopular. Men's hearts rise up. Christians rise up, so-called, and fury in their souls if anybody says a word against the Roman Catholic Church and those that are called charismatics. But I want to tell you, there is ample evidence to support the claim that there are many Roman priests today that are out in sheep's clothing, but they are ravening wolves. They have not given their life to Christ, and they're claiming to be filled with the Holy Ghost and speak in tongues that they might have a leverage and move into charismatic circles, and they might bring the Church of Jesus Christ, even the Spirit-filled Church, under the foot of the Pope, under blasphemy, back into a darkness and a paganism. We had a Roman priest stand in the back of the assembly, stand up and claim that he got filled with the Holy Ghost, and the man didn't even know Jesus. He claimed the Bible was a myth. He didn't believe in the veracity of the scriptures and said there are many roads to heaven besides Jesus Christ. Let no man deceive you by any means. For that day of being gathered together unto him shall not come except to come the falling away first, and the man of lawlessness be revealed, whom the son of perdition. 2 Thessalonians 2:3. I have forsaken mine house, God said. I have forsaken mine house. God has forsaken the Methodist Church. Does that make you mad? Or does it make you sad? There are those that get very upset when you say something like that. But it's true. I don't mean that every Methodist has forsaken God. But I mean at large. And I can say that with practically every Protestant church in America. God has forsaken most of the churches of America. It's high time that Christians wake up and know what the devil has been doing in their midst. For they like to have their ears tickled with fancy words. They hate the truth because it's ugly. But the truth is ugly, and we must know the truth that we might be able to be forewarned and put on the whole armor of God and be able to stand. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul to the hand of her enemies. Now, God has forsaken his people, his church. Why has he forsaken her? The reason is in verse 8. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore, I have hated it. They have cried out against God. He hates it. He hates it. You say, would he hate his church? Yes, he'll hate his church. He'll divorce his church. And he did in the Old Testament. He put her away. He said, you have played the harlot under every green tree. I've spread my hand out all the day to rebellious people. And he was talking about his people. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird. His heritage, that's his inheritance, has become a speckled bird, and the birds round about are against her. And that's what I want to speak about tonight, is the great speckled bird. The nation, this nation, founded by God on the Constitution, on the Word of God. The ships of Columbus coming across this ocean with the Catholic flag of King Ferdinand and Queen Isabella of Portugal caught a great southern wind. God hurled a wind out into the sea, and history tells us they were blown all the way south and landed in the South Americas. Well, Catholicism has a foothold today and has the South America in its grip. The Mayflower came over, and all of a sudden they ran, according to history, into a tailwind that blew them right into Plymouth Rock. God saved this nation from Catholicism, planted it on the truth of God's word, and this nation has forsaken the foundation laid by its founding fathers, and it's just about in the last death grips, and you are going to live in the next decade, the next 10 years ahead, to see this nation perish, to see the whole land burning with fires. You're going to live to see sin take over every place, and you're going to find this government corrupted, turned red, and you're going to find great persecution against the Church of God. If you don't know it, get as angry as you want about it, but that's what you're going to find. That's what you're going to see. And we're either going to be forewarned, or we're going to purposely stop our ears like we did before Stephen and run upon them, and then find out in the judgment day. The nation has become speckled. We are so speckled with red and black. I mean, black being sin and red being communism. This nation is so tainted and so cancerous. It's being attacked and picked on by every nation on the earth. This nation was a strong nation, looked up to, revered as a champion of justice and freedom throughout the earth, and every nation could look to this country. Today, they all spit on it. Today, they all pick on it. They've all gathered around like birds picking on it because we're a speckled bird. It's the nature of birds to do that. If you find a bird, and the Hebrew means a carnivorous speckled bird. And we are a carnivorous speckled bird. And when you find a bird, a great big speckled bird, and it doesn't look like a vulture, and it doesn't look like a hawk, and it doesn't look like a kite, and it doesn't look like an eagle, and it doesn't look like an ostrich, they all gang up on it and pick it to death. It's big and unusual, and they don't like it, and they'll all attack it. That's the nature of the carnivorous birds of the air. And that is what we are. We don't have any feathers for anything in this nation. We do not stand for anything, so we'll fall for everything. We are coming in again to a worldwide Babylon. We're Babylon, Babel, confusion of tongues. We have every guru, every Maharaja, Baha'ism, Transcendental Meditation, Krishna, every wild thing imaginable in this nation. When God told us to put sorcery out of the land, kill all the witches, get rid of them, get rid of demonism. This nation is inviting it into the schools, inviting it into the churches, inviting it into the land. And it's full of sorceries and sin. And God says, come out of my people. Becoming a great Babylon. This nation is becoming a great Babylon. A great harlot. So this isn't very nice sounding. No, it isn't. But sometimes you have to see the truth of things. Sometimes you got to teach your little children. Honey, that is a black widow spider. Don't touch it. Bad. Now, I don't think it's so unusual to be teaching children that God's creation is bad. I don't think you should tell them black widow spiders and tarantulas and snakes are bad. They have as much right to be here as we do. We should respect them. And that's how they get bit and killed. That's how they die, with poison in their system, injected by venomous doctrines and demons and people and forces about them, because we're afraid to look at the truth anymore and to see what really is there. More prone to give way to the devil things than we are to resist it and rebuke it in the name of Jesus. The visible church has become speckled, and therefore the nations have become against the church. And the nation itself is against the church because it has become speckled. The church does not stand for Jesus with a purity anymore. And even the spirit-filled churches have become speckled. And the visible church is against even the invisible. And there's internal warfare in the invisible church, all picking one on another, because they aren't all the same color. They can't see that the birds are the same feather that flock together. And they're all different, and they're all picking at one another, because there's no unity. They cannot speak the same things or walk in the same ways. And the tongues, as they're called, the spirit-filled, been filled with the Spirit. I want to tell you that everybody who's been filled with the Spirit is not walking in the Spirit. Everybody that speaks in tongues is not walking right and pure before God. Got the idea today that if they speak in tongues, everything's beautiful. There's some high super class of spiritual giant with hind feet walking in high places. I want to tell you that isn't true. There's a lot of them walking down in Sodom. They're just about ready to be engulfed, too, by a great cataclysm from heaven, like up on Sodom. And all the lots in Sodom are going to have to flee for their lives and barely make it. A lot of the tongues today are clanging cymbals, prideful, thinking they're great as they walk in sin and speak in tongues. Worldly. You say, can you be worldly and speak in tongues? Yes, you can be worldly and speak in tongues for a while. But if you knew the interpretation of tongues, you might be ashamed. They may not be saying what you think they're saying. You know, those with power mad and money mad leaders trying to use the Church of God for their own purposes. People happy-go-lucky funsters instead of prayer warriors burdened with the souls of the world. Self-righteous Christians. A lot of self-made Christians, full of gimmicks and programs. We just want to have fun and programs and gimmicks. Full of self and pride program. So God is going to put the church in an iron furnace. An iron furnace. He's going to burn it until all that dross is burned out. The dross shall perish. Only the gold is going to remain. What has happened to the Church of America after six major revivals? After six major revivals, what shape is the church in America in today? Let me tell you what shape the Church of America is in today. You know what the old Methodists used to do in the time of John Wesley? They were in great revival. You could hear them say, praise the Lord, amen, two, three blocks down the street. How many Methodist churches have you heard two, three blocks down the street yelling, praise the Lord, amen? How many Methodists you find on the face hours and hours praying anymore? And the Methodists and the Baptists falling under the power of God, convicted of God, and the fires of revival, going out into camp meetings, Brush Arbor meetings. What's happened to these denominational churches today after six major revivals? Let me give you a little bit of idea. If you think I'm being too hard on the churches, let me give you a little bit of idea. You ever heard of Dr. Martin Luther King, a minister of peace? How many have heard of him? Dr. Martin Luther King died. Somebody called me up, asked if he was spirit-filled. And I said, I don't know, but not with the Holy Ghost. There are many, many, many Christians who think, still to this day, that he was a wonderful minister of God for peace, maybe spirit-filled. J. Edgar Hoover called him America's biggest liar. And he may be right. Dr. Martin Luther King was not only involved in more communist activity. The Internal Senate Investigative Committee found here that he had people under working for him in communist fronts, and they caught him on it, and he withdrew him. And next thing you know, they found the same guy appointed to another position. He just shifted him from place to place. Dr. Martin Luther King violated the Mann Act hundreds of times and ran white slavery rings. He boasted he was above the law. And he got out as a hypocritical minister. He was a wicked man. And a hypocritical minister would talk peace, brethren, to the blacks. Let's get out and revolt with peace. And then he came out in the newspaper, the liberal newspapers began to mold him into the image of peace. And then when he began to say, let's get tough and mean with those, and begin to talk that way, none of the papers printed it, except the right-wing papers. Because they didn't want to destroy the image of peaceful Dr. Martin Luther King. That happened, one of those speeches was made just before a great revolution by the blacks and terror and violence. But though this nation has become a speckled bird, so people don't even know what's happening in America. How about the first president of the World Council of Churches? Do you know how many churches are involved in that? Most of the churches of the land. Most of our churches in America are involved in the World Council of Churches. The first president said, the God of the Old Testament is a dirty bully. He said, Adam was not a historical figure, he's a myth. And he said that heaven is not exclusively for Christians. I expect to see many of present-day atheists there. But I got news for him. He'll never be there. The last president before the present one of the World Council of Churches said that communism formulated by Karl Marx is rooted in the teachings of Jesus, and Marxism is the closest to human need and hope. And you know who the new president of the World Council of Churches is? He's the Archbishop of Leningrad in Moscow. And he says the primary role of the church is for, I can't remember the exact word, but something like freedom. And he does not mean freedom of Czechoslovakia and Hungary from communism. The text was shipping arms to the leftist rebels in Africa to take over Angola and these other nations. In other words, the main role of the World Council of Churches is to push communism into the land and take over the lands through subversion and lies. That's the one for 7 years. He's been elected for 7 years. That's what we're going to have as the head of this opposing Church of Jesus Christ that we're not supposed to say anything about. You know who the secretary of the World Council of Churches is? He's a Buddhist. You know they want to change the name of the Seattle Church, the Seattle Churches? What's the name of it? Seattle Council of Churches? They want to change it to the Seattle Council of Religions. Because they want Buddhists and all the rest, Krishna and the whole works in. The World Council of Churches sang in Berlin, she's got the whole wide world in her hands, making God a woman. Getting back again to worshiping female deities as the pagans. The World Council of Churches gave $220,000 to communistic guerrillas in Africa to combat racism. Do you know why the communists are pushing racism in America? The anti-racism? You know what all this thing is about? Now, you don't think the communists are so love our black brethren so much, they got such big hearts of love, that they're so interested in American blacks that they want to make sure that they have nice places to live. You don't believe that, do you? Because if you do, you're deceived. There's three reasons that they are pushing the black revolution in America. Number one, they want to stir up all the strife if possible, and hatred and division, and if possible, get it to break out to a civil war. They want to push the black front until it gets so unbearable and intolerable, the whites won't go for it, and they'll be so big they won't back down, and they're going to have bloodshed on the streets of America. That's one reason. The second reason, they want Africa before the communists, and that's what they're doing right now. That's the next step, you know. First of all, they want to preach that heel so that we get this idea of everything against black is racism. I mean, everything that is pushing blacks is racism. And then they want to go to Africa, and in Africa, they themselves are saying to combat racism, they are sending in guerrillas and communist-trained blacks and others that are killing whites and killing other blacks and intimidating and taking over those nations. In fact, the Zulu leader in Africa said that the World Council of Churches is a terrorist movement in Africa. That's what he called it, a terrorist movement. And the third reason is so Palestine can be wrenched away from Israel and become an international open city so the communists will have a chance at it. They are accusing now the Jews of being racist but not wanting Mohammedans and Arabs there. And so they're using this, guys, to spread out and ruin things. They are liars from the beginning. You know the first thing that they preach in civil rights? We don't think that anybody should be hired by color. It should be, that isn't fair to hire by color. It should be like nobody even knew what color. But now, that was only the first lie, the first step, because now they're preaching, we ought to hire everybody by color. We want more blacks, we want a certain percentage of blacks, we want to know the color, and we want them hired by color. Just exactly the opposite. And that's only the second step. The third step is now racism in Angola and Palestine. There are so many dupes in this country, they don't know what's going on. And all the strings are being pulled from Moscow, and the dupes are all in the bandwagon helping the communists under the name of Christianity, some of them. And they pledged $1 million more to combat this racism so-called in Africa. They have given aid to 19 revolutionary groups. That's just 1973 alone. They represent 252 denominations in 83 countries, and they have gained that in 23 years, starting from scratch. They have, World Council of Churches has refused to label or protest or consider the minority Christians that are persecuted and imprisoned in Russia. They won't say one word to Russia about it, won't accuse them, won't work for their release, won't work for the minority rights of the Christians to believe what they want to. They will not touch it. And yet, They beg this country for clemency for convicted communist spies. They have opposed loyalty oaths. They have opposed anti-communist security laws. They have opposed the investigation of communists on Capitol Hill. A CIA report recently, and that's why the CIAs are being fought so hard, is not because they've been bad boys. Strange thing. The dirty business of the CIA, you know what it is? Tried to kill by a plot a communist called Castro in Cuba, who lied and by U.S. help overtook Cuba and have plunged it into communism, and we'll send warplanes and soldiers over to fight in Vietnam for 11 years to fight communism, and then we blast the CIA but trying to get rid of one of the leaders of communism. And the reason against the CIA is because the CIA knows too much. And they're fighting communism, and CIA has been one of the things that has held communism up all over the globe. It's been a very highly successful organization, so they want to point against the alleged sins of the CIA, and it's not the sins of the CIA at all. As a matter of fact, they never did anything without presidential approval, but they themselves, far as I'm concerned, were doing the only reasonable thing. They could save millions of people if they were allowed to get rid of the leaders. After all, war is war. If you're not allowed to go after leaders, why shoot all the innocent people drafted and leave the leaders? Strange business, isn't it? But we're being duped, and the people don't know any better than to swallow it. So what happened? The CIA had a report of 50 communist spies on Capitol Hill that are working within our State Department. The FBI has been forbidden to even snoop around Capitol Hill. Don't you go snooping around Capitol Hill for communists. You leave them alone. And so the FBI doesn't. So what happened to one of the leaders? He got up and said, well, all this witch hunt for communists in Capitol Hill, I'll be glad when they bring that to a halt. Anyway, I'll just get that thing brought to a halt. Get that investigation stopped. They want to investigate Watergate for 2 years. They want to investigate everything else, but they don't want, they want to investigate the CIA, but they don't want to investigate to see whether the CIA report of 50 communists in the State Department is true. And he got up and said, well, the FBI reports show no communists in Capitol Hill. Because they don't do it. Because they don't do anything on Capitol Hill. They aren't allowed to look into it. Lying. In other words, we have a great speckled bird before us, my friend, in the nation and in the church. And we're not supposed to say anything about this great speckled bird. The Unitarian Church has been showing pornographic films in the church to raise money for the church. The Episcopal Church has ordained a lifer who slayed his wife with a bowl, and they ordain him to be one of their bishops. Not after he repented either. One of the Methodist churches, by Reverend Lawson, loaned his church to the Black Panthers. The Presbyterian gave $25,000 to defend the Black Panthers and $10,000 to defend Angela Davis. Episcopal Church gave $40,000 for guerrilla warfare in the United States. That is against the United States. In the North, a chaplain and a girl in shorts danced in the aisles, did the thug in the Episcopal Church. In the South, they had a striptease who come in and do a striptease right in the middle of the church, and they did not hear one complaint. And Pastor Nichols said it fits well into our service. In the Lutheran and Methodist churches and so forth, they have condoned homosexuality, living in adultery, nudity, pornography, unlimited abortion, hypnotism, transcendental meditation. The Presbyterian and Lutheran Church put out a national magazine, and an article in there said, I disagree with Jesus. And they blasted Jesus in there and said Jesus didn't know what he was talking about. Many of them are teaching there's no sin, there's no hell, there's no miracles, there's no creation. And am I right in saying the church has become a great speckled bird? You even move into more to men today that know God, like Brother Old Roberts. My job is not to blast men of God. God forbid, that's against it. And yet men that do things openly and advertise openly, if we say no more than what they advertise, then you're not undercutting them and saying all kinds of malicious things about them, are you, since they advertise it? New big advertisement, Oral Roberts was a holiness Pentecostal minister. 15, 20 years from today, he would not think of doing what he's doing today. You go back and listen to any of his messages, I listened to his messages back, Bill. If you read anything he wrote, he wouldn't think of doing what he's doing today. Today, one of the new things right now in the paper is, has Jerry Lewis in his program, puffing stuff, and all kinds of things like that, calling Hollywood stars Christians when they are sinners, they are not Christians at all, becoming mad and moving into a realm of compromise. I only say this because we've got to watch. Billy Graham not only came with laughs on jokes on Laugh-In, but on the David Frost show, when they asked, David Frost said, what about Stalin, for example? He said, in your opinion, would he be in heaven or hell? Well, he didn't know. He had to leave that up to God. He didn't know if Joseph Stalin, a rank atheist, antichrist, who slaughtered over 30 million people, didn't know whether he was in hell or not. Afraid to say so on national television because he doesn't want to offend anybody. Now, I'm afraid things have gotten pretty bad. David Frost asked him, who do you consider the most important religious leader of the 20th century? On national television, he said, Pope John the First. The Quakers, which used to be a very fundamental denomination, is supporting North Vietnam. You've been reading about it in the papers, most of you. United Pentecostal Church, one of the most legalistic and one of the most strong holiness churches in America, and along with many other Pentecostal churches, most of them, have brought rock and roll music into the churches. Mod program, the wilderness, this type of thing. Don't see anything wrong with it. I'm not blasting them either. I'm just saying that barriers are falling. New trends are coming. And the new ones come up. Say, well, what's wrong with that? Which only shows that they are brought up in an age when they don't know what God's standards are or holiness. Their standards are the world standards, so they don't see anything wrong with the world standards. And I'm not talking about legalism, because I hate it. I'm talking about coming out from the world and being separate, saith the Lord. If you're friend with the world, friendship with the world is enmity with God. How many believe that? How many read that? How many hear that in the Word of God? A great speckled bird, I'm afraid. And we must heed 1 Timothy 4:16. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. For in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The dove of Jesus Christ has become a great speckled bird, a great speckled owl of the night, as it were, who hates the light and only flies in the night. The big speckled bird is of no one color. He doesn't stand for anything. Like a peacock, the church has become a great vari-colored bird that changes its color whenever it moves, and it looks a different color from every direction. No matter who you are, you look at a church, it looks a different color. You can't tell what color it is. It's variegated. It looks different from different sides, and it moves and changes its color, and it does not have a uniform doctrine of God that stays fast through the years. This is the Word of God. I know people don't like this kind of teaching, some of them. Only those who love God and are honest before God and want God to do what's right in their lives and heart. Now in Jeremiah chapter 12 and verse 10, I was just explaining a little bit about this great speckled bird. Verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. See, pastors, do you believe that? Supposing I got up and said, pastors have destroyed God's vineyard. People would say, oh, I don't think you ought to be saying things like that. That's what God said to Jeremiah, print it. Not only say it, but print it. Pastors have spoiled my vineyards. And he went on to say, they have said, thus saith the Lord, and they are lies, and I haven't said any such thing, and neither have I sent them. That's what the Word of God says. And then he says, they have made it desolate. They have made the church desolate. The pastors have made the church desolate until there's no Spirit of God anymore. How many churches can you walk in and have a good old Holy Ghost prayer meeting? How many can you walk in and feel the Spirit of the Lord and say, amen, praise the Lord, and see the people with real power with God? Not very many. The spoilers are come upon high places through the wilderness. For the sword of the Lord shall devour from one end of the land even to the other end of the land. No flesh shall have peace. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit. They shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. The money is going to amount to nothing that they have collected by all these things. And all the dealings and commercialism and the lies of God showed me and blessing packs, and I'll send you these holy cloths and all these other things. If you send money, it's going to mean nothing. Thus saith the Lord, against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance I have caused my people Israel to inherit, behold, I will pluck them out of the land and pluck them out of the house of Judah from among them. Verse 17, but if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck up and destroy the nation, saith the Lord. If you look at chapter 14 for just a moment. Well, in chapter 13, I've got more here than I can read. Chapter 13, God tells Jeremiah to put a linen girdle on and go to the Euphrates in the land of Babylon and to take this girdle and put it in a hole in the rock. And then he tells him, go back and get the girdle. And when he went back and got it, he found the girdle was all rotten and it was profitable for nothing. And God says that's what's happening to the church. That's exactly what's happened. It's been transported, it's been put into Babylon, it's been stuck in a hole, and it's rotten and it's good for nothing. And he said that's what's going to happen, the great pride of Jerusalem, the great pride. So much pride they would not acknowledge their sins. So much pride that they don't think anything wrong.
They say, we are rich and have need of nothing, and know not that we are miserable and blind and naked, and have need of eye salve, they might anoint their eyes that they might see. That's happening in the church today. People sit out, you tell them to pray, they won't pray. You tell them to repent, and they won't repent. You preach a message, and they don't heal. They can go home and live exactly the same life they did before you talked to them. And God, after a time, wearies with it, and said, even if Samuel came, and even if Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. That's what God said. Because they would not follow him. I wish I had the time to read to you chapters 14 and 15 and 16 parts. There are many, many areas there where God is telling them what has happened to the church. Right down the line, you can see it. And their stubbornness and their sins before God and will not move. But we find in chapter 15 a ray of hope. After Jeremiah comes in chapter 15, such as are for death, because there are people for death, to death. They, and such that are for the sword, to the sword. Such are for the famine, to the famine. And such are for the captivity, to the captivity. That's what's going to happen to each one that's in the church of God. They're going to go into the very bed of iniquity that they have been promulgating. And then we find out, but Jeremiah finally says in verse 15, and this is the ray of hope. This is the good part of the message. O Lord, thou knowest, remember me, and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. Thy words were found, and I did eat them. And their word was unto me the joy and rejoicing of mine heart. For I am called by thy name, O Lord God of hosts. I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I didn't sit in that assembly. I didn't stay in that church. I got out of it. I sat alone because of thine hand. And thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, my wound incurable, which refuses to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, as the waters that fail? Therefore, thus saith the Lord. You know, it seems like God's a liar sometimes. He promised, we wait, we wait. He's promised, we wait. And we say, it's Lord, are you going to be a liar? You know, altogether a liar? Are you going to do what your word says? You promised and it doesn't happen? You promised it doesn't happen? And then God speaks. Therefore, thus saith the Lord. If, there's that two little word, letter word, if thou return, then will I bring thee again, and thou shalt stand before me. And if thou take forth the precious from the vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. If you will take the preciousness out of the vial, if you will take my presence out of my precious vial, thou shalt be as my mouth. And thou shalt say, thus saith the Lord. And I will back it up with miracle-working power. Let them return unto thee, but return not unto them. Let the others return to you. Let them come up to your standards. Don't you fall down to their standards to try to save them. Don't go down and act like the heathen and speak all kinds of hippie jargon to try to reach them and relate to them. Make them come up to the high, white heart standards of the living God. And I will make thee unto this people a fence, brazen wall. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee. For I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And I will deliver thee out of the hand of the wicked, by the rapture, these last days, and I will redeem thee out of the hand of the terrible. Come out of her, my people. God is still crying to his church. He said in chapter 16, verse 2, thou shalt not take a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. We are not to be unequally yoked. We are not to go out and get on and the ungodly and join, neither are we to unite with them in anything. But we are to come out of her, my people, and stand before God. This is the only hope. And I'll tell you as pastor of this assembly, I tremble before God in this. I don't want to go the way of the dying churches that have Ichabod written across the door of the house. Before that comes, we'll have a mighty purge of the Holy Ghost and purge out and cut off all the dead wood. We cannot stand it. Neither will we stand it. They will come up to the white-hot standards of God who repent, or else we don't want them in the house. For we must and we will go on with God. If they're going to live in adultery, they'll have to leave. We will. God can only wink at it so long. He can only peel so long. He can only cry out so long. His spirit cannot always deal with flesh and with man. But oh, God is calling a people that will walk with him. God is calling people that will pray. God is calling people that will pay the price. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and repent, I'll heal the land. This is what God wants to do, to save us, to heal us. There's this great spirit of sleepiness that's invaded the land. And he says, shake sleep. And that you might be gained full vigor, Holy Ghost vigor, in the spirit, to be counted worthy to escape all these things about to come to pass. Do you know all these things are about to come to pass? We are living in evil, treacherous days. And it behooves the children of God not to get blind and worldly and fight against it, but to recognize that Satan has hid leaven in the meal, that Satan has come and invaded the church, and we must be aware of it, and we might purge it out, and we might walk holy and clean and pure before God. I'm not talking about man-made rules. I'm talking about repentance of the heart and the spirit. I'm talking about crying out to God until we begin to yield to him and walk in the spirit until we hate sin and everything about it. We've got to, or we cannot continue with the anointing of God. Amen.